The next morning, D'Artagnan's head was spinning like a top. He knew not how the morning came, or how Athos had left. Indeed, he scarcely remembered where he was, so affected was he by what he had heard the night before. To steady himself, he forced himself to focus on one purpose, the impending battle at La Rochelle, for which he spent the next couple of days preparing. Of one thing he had no doubt, that he was honour-bound to serve his king, who, when he was not distracted by his favourite pastime of hunting, was exhibiting surprising enthusiasm for the battle. Of the part in all this played by the cardinal, who no doubt had his own far-reaching schemes, D'Artagnan tried to think as little as possible. At last the chilly morning dawned when D'Artagnan joined his troop of the king's guards, who, in a noble procession, began to make their way out of La Rochelle, where the stubborn Huguenots awaited the siege of their walled city. The noblest part of the procession, of course, was that in which the three musketeers took their places in advance of the guards, where D'Artagnan could not see them. Just as Porthos had predicted, Aramis was among them, no doubt because he had indeed received the aforementioned word from his mysterious mistress. The musketeers had all recovered from their recently acquired wounds, and thought of the ordeal that lay ahead of them and the honours they might acquire. As daylight broke on the troubled and tumultuous soil of France, D'Artagnan's heart was lightened when he saw before him the glittering arms and waving plumes of column upon column of His Majesty's soldiers. Over several days, with several stops at encampments and, for the officers, inns among the way, this mass of warriors gradually encroached upon La Rochelle. Absorbed in his thoughts, as he was leaving Paris, D'Artagnan had failed to notice three figures on horseback at the side of the road, one a lady, the other two men of obviously far lower station. Had D'Artagnan then looked to the side, as he was moving along the crowded boulevard, he might have seen that the lady bore a striking resemblance to the woman he had briefly seen on a fateful occasion, and with whose life his had become fatefully entwined, the woman called Milady. Even then, he could not have heard the whispers of the three, but, as the woman discerned D'Artagnan in the procession, and indicated him to the two men beside her, and as the two nodded with a grim look, D'Artagnan might have been certain that their looks meant no good. In fact, as he had known when he risked his life for the queen, he was indeed swimming in dangerous waters. As he was quite unaware, however, of what was being planned for him, D'Artagnan's mood now actually lightened. At times, he became quite confident that he would distinguish himself on the battlefield, eventually be reunited with the musketeers, and even rescue Mademoiselle Bonacieux.